street. Come and play.
Steve, we're going to play. It's a sunny day. Everything's A-okay. Did you watch Sesame Street when you were growing up?
So it was just starting when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. So I remember a little Sesame Street, Electric Company at the time.
Yes, I watched the Electric Company. Of course, Morgan Freeman, Rita Moreno was on that show. Right. But Sesame Street was a place you could go every day where you'd learn something. And it was just a happy street. Everyone was nice to each other. There was one grouchy little guy who lived in a garbage can. And Carol Spinney, do you happen to know who that grouchy little guy was?
Yeah, I think he's an Oscar. A true grouch.
Why was he so grouchy in such a lovely place?
I think he enjoys being a grouch.
It is kind of fun to be grouchy.
Yeah, he's made a thing out of it.
He's made a thing out of it, yes.
Carol Spinney joining us today. He's an actor, a writer, a puppeteer, an author, and you have played the part of Oscar the Grouch. But I don't know, maybe more importantly, Big Bird also, since 1969.
Yeah. I was a puppeteer since I was a little kid. I gave my first puppet show when I was 8.
A sock puppet?
No, it was a monkey puppet with a plastic head or fiber or something. I didn't know I still have it. I found it a couple weeks ago up in the attic.
Oh, is that sweet. Yeah, what was his name?
I paid a nickel for it. Just a monkey.
Just a monkey.
And I gave one show. All I had was as a second puppet was a green flannel snake stuffed with cotton batting, and my mother had made it for a Christmas present to me.
That's so sweet.
So that wasn't even a puppet, you know. Didn't occur to me to put a stick on it. You have some of my little hand wiggling the snake around. I don't know what the show was about, but there were 16 people there, and I made 32 cents.
32 cents.
That was enough money to go to the movies 3 times in 1942.
Well, you knew early on. I mean, you knew early on in your life that you wanted to be with puppets one way or another.
Yeah, I had seen a little puppet show about the three little kittens who lost their mittens. Just a simple song. But after they were through, and they were little Steiff puppets, those little German...
We had a whole selection of Steiff stuffed animals. My brother had a teddy bear.
A nice little cat.
Beautiful, yes. So lifelike and beautiful eyes.
So, of course, I was fascinated and delighted. And afterwards, they just sang it live. There was no recording or anything. And they came out and bowed afterwards. And it was, I think they were college or high school students. When you're 5, you don't know how old people are.
Right.
Right. Everyone's old.
They're just bigger.
One of the kids on Sesame Street guests, I said, how old do you think I am? He says, 100.
Well, I ask about the puppets because I watched the film I Am Big Bird. I love that. You know, I learned so much. But one of the things is, you know, here where this is WGN, and growing up as a kid, we watched the Bozo Show on WGN, and in each market, you thought that was the only one. Watching this film, you were on a Bozo Show.
Yes, there were probably at least 12 cities that had their own Bozo. Each one had their own Bozo.
Right, but the set seemed almost identical to the one we had in Chicago.
Yes, well, a guy named Larry Harmon had bought the Capital Clown back in the 40s, and he decided to make it into a TV series, which he had produced a bunch of short little bits with Oscar and the little ringmaster kid. And so he decided to go to city and sell the franchise. And so obviously they bought it here, and they did it in Boston at Channel 5. And Larry would train him how to be Bozo, ho ho ho, how to laugh and all that stuff.
I was heartbroken when I found out that there were other Bozos.
More than one Bozo?
Yeah.
I really was.
But Larry liked the two best ones was right here in Chicago and the Boston one.
Yeah, Bob Bell was Bozo here.
Yes. And it's funny, I always thought that Bob Bell was the one in New York because there was one in New York and he didn't keep the job because he was too... inebriated to do a good job one day.
A drunken clown, that's what you
and
want.
So he was let go. And they stopped the show, and so instead they bought the Boston version. So my wife, who is sitting behind me, she used to watch the show and see me doing my bit on the Boston show, because we just made up what we were doing. So I played Grandma Nellie, which is a character I created, and so I wanted to get into a clown suit.
Most people want to spend the rest of their lives not getting in a clown suit, but you, the other way.
Yeah, I know a funny joke about a clown.
Is it arable?
No, yes.
It's I'm not going to have to hit the delay?
Yeah, no, you won't. I've always been afraid of clowns. I don't know what that springs from, but perhaps it's because one day I went to the circus and a clown killed my dad. That was written by Jack Handy.
I love Jack Handy. Yes.
I love his stuff.
So you were on Saturday Night Live just a few years ago.
Yeah, it was because of the Mitt Romney suggesting he was going to end PBS, and he liked PBS and loved Big Bird, but as soon as he got to be president, it was going to be nixed.
Yeah.
So none of us felt it was helping himself with that bit. And so all of a sudden, 3 days later, I was on the Saturday Night Live. I had always thought Oscar would be the one that would be on, but because of Mitt,
Big Bird was more appropriate.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you about that because you're before audiences all over the world all of the time, and then here you find yourself on the set of Weekend Update.
Yeah,
and
Seth Meyers,
and Seth Meyers introducing you, and you know when he's introducing you at the time, it might have been anyone in the costume, right? And then,
because they were famous for having people play the other
yes,
people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you speak, and the crowd, when the audience hears you, what was that reaction like?
Well, when they saw him, they thought, well, maybe he's just been doing a copy of it. But as soon as he said, "Hello, Mr. Myers," and because Seth Meyers had written it like, "Hello, Seth," I said, you know, "Big Bird would never say, Mr. Seth, because you're a grown up. He's only 6." So
Big Bird's only 6 years old?
Yeah, well, not in reality, but in, he's in his 50s, isn't he? At least, and I'm in my 80s. So.
But you're right. He would address an adult with respect.
Yes.
Mr.
Myers. Yeah, he's fun to work with. He's a nice guy. But I got to meet all the cast. They all came in because they're all big fans of the Muppets.
Sure.
How does that make you feel? We have Carol Spinney in the studio with us. He's going to be, by the way, at Wizard World Comic Con, Donald D. Stevens Convention Center, through this weekend. You can go to wizardworld.com to find out the schedule. Carol Spinney has been the voice of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch since 1969.
Yes.
My 12-year-old son Dylan is here with us today. He wanted to come in and meet you and, of course, Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead. It's kind of a crazy mixture there. You guys were in the green room together. You've got Big Bird and The Walking Dead coming together. But how does it feel to meet someone in their 50s, their 60s, their 12 years old? We're all fans of yours.
Well, I know. I think he's got more of a wide range of fans because there were the people who were children when we started the show 46 years ago, 45. We've taped 46 years of it so far.
Wow.
We're ahead a little bit. And because now they're watching it with their own children or grandchildren.
Yeah.
Grandchildren.
But the same guy is still the bird all these years.
Well,
that's me. I'm kind of having fun doing that.
That's another thing that struck me watching the movie, because sometimes when you see things from a different direction, you think of them from a different direction. And, you know, I have to say, I kind of, in a way, took you for granted. Right, because here's a guy who's in a costume, so he's walking around in a costume. And it wasn't until I saw the film and saw that it really is, you know, a unique and an American and really a world fixture that you've created and that you recreate every time you put that on.
Yeah.
I wonder if you ever feel that way, that people don't quite recognize what you've accomplished.
It's sort of like I've got a secret, because I've often, I remember I used to motor street bike a lot, like big motorcycle, and I remember I had a black helmet and even a black faceplate, which is a good thing because one time I dumped and I would have scraped my face off if it wasn't for this thing. I'm seeing the face, the road dirt go by my face as I'm sliding along. It ruined the faceplate, but it sort of saved my nose.
Yes, it did.
So anyway, I also that same day I went into L.L. Bean's up in Maine. I was touring her up there. And I came down the stairs, and this little girl saw this guy with this black thing, and she started to scream. And I thought, gee, if you really know, I'm really Big Bird.
She probably thought it was Darth Vader for a minute, and then, you know, if she only knew. That's pretty wild. Carol Spinney, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking about everything, his appearance at the Wizard World Comic Con. There's a documentary out, I Am Big Bird, written a book, The Wisdom of Big Bird. You can go to his website at Carol, with two L's, carolspinney.com. We will return with more from the guy who has been Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, the only guy that has been those two characters since 1969. It's Steve Bertrand in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
Oh, I love trash.
Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty.
Not bad.
We all know. How about that, Carol Spinney?
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Big fan of Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird, are you, from Sesame Street?
Yeah.
We have the man, the legend, Carol Spinney, who has provided those voices since 1969. We were talking off the air about Jim Henson's funeral and a beautiful little thing that happened at his funeral with butterflies.
Oh, yeah. The puppet builders, who were a very important part of Muppets, they still are. The outfit now belongs to Disney, but
Disney owns everything now, don't they?
But the same people are making this stuff, and so they decided. Jim loved fantasy, and he said he didn't want everybody to go to his funeral wearing dark, somber clothes. Wear your brightest, happiest colors you ever had. So there were a lot of green suits and all kinds of stuff, you know. And but they also had them build about 1,000 butterflies that are made out of very thin plastic foam, and they were bright colors. They could color them, and they were on a little wire, stiff wire. And one was given to most of the people who came into the huge cathedral.
Because it was open to the public, anyone could go to that.
So they had 1,000 of these butterflies made, and they said, hold on to the butterflies, and don't fly them until you said this is the time to fly the butterflies. So at a certain point, they said, this time to bring up the butterflies, and there was a piece of music to go with it. And all of a sudden, 1,000 butterflies appeared above everybody's heads. They start waving their little metal rods around, and the butterflies fluttered all around over the place.
And escorted him. What a nice send-off.
Yeah, and it was really a beautiful thing.
You were close to him.
Yes, he was. He had seen me do my performance to start with on a show I was hoping to find.
He saw you bomb.
I bombed badly, but in a way, it was good because they put a big floodlight on it, ruined my rear screen projection view. I couldn't see what I was doing, so but I came out. I tried to get them to change the lights, and they were resistant. It was run by student people at the University of Salt Lake City, and they almost killed me too because I was backed up. I was backstage. I kept going around to see if it was something I could change or do to make this work. But at least I was very funny in my ad libs of desperation. I knew Jim Henson was in the audience. I didn't realize he was scouting for Sesame Street.
So he found you and came back.
I almost fell 40 feet to my death because a puppeteer, it was a convention for puppeteers, and he said, don't step back another step. They had inadvertently pushed a button and lowered an elevator because it was a very fancy stage, very, very well equipped. And they dropped down 40 feet to the basement level so they could bring sets up and everything. And on this big platform elevator, I almost fell backwards 40 feet through the down to the basement.
Ugh.
And the guy saved my life.
I ask about that because at the memorial service then, and again, this is from me seeing the film, but you performed at that service, right? You sang.
Yes, I sang.
You sang It's Not Easy Being Green.
Brian Henson, his son, one of his sons, he asked me if I would sing. That was Kermit the Frog's favorite song and his theme song sort of. And so Big Bird sang.
Must have been hard to do.
We were terribly broken up because he was just the nicest guy, and he's only 53. We couldn't believe we'd lost him. Yeah. It was like the end of Camelot. Yeah.
Definitely for you guys,
yes.
It was. And you also mentioned off the air a sweet little story involving some children. I don't know the setup.
But I was vacationing in Cape Cod. And we went to one of these ice cream stands where you wait in line and get big scoops of ice cream for very little money. And there was long lines at each window scoops being scooped all the time. And I saw all these children, and I got an idea. There was a big 55-gallon drum that had been no top, and it painted green. It was full of used paper plates with ice cream on them, or some a little bit left. So I lifted up a few of them, and I said, "Oscar, what are you doing down there under all this trash?" He says, "Get away. I'm on Cape Cod here having my vacation." And I said, so leave me alone. I said, "Boy, what a grouch." And I just pushed the stuff back down, and I just walked away and said, "What a grouch." And the kids all left the line, and they're all looking through the dirty paper plates.
Looking for Oscar.
For Oscar.
Oh, is that a sweet story? You really have touched.
So we walked up to the window. We had no waiting at all.
What a great plan. You have touched the lives of so many children, adults alike. You really have. It's an honor to meet you today. He's Carol Spinney, and he is going to be at Wizard World Comic Con. It's all happening now at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. You can go to wizardworld.com. And, Steve, you highly recommend the documentary I Am Big Bird.
I Am Big Bird, yeah. It's a fascinating film. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I think it came out beautiful.
It really did.
It's very popular.
It's a very huge pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up.
I enjoyed this. Thank you.
Come back and see us anytime, and bring Oscar if you want.
And Debbie. Bring Debbie all the time. So your wife is
we never apart.
That's what Steve was
you
telling me.
You never are
me.
Apart, are
no.
you?
Yeah. Which is one of the great things about it. We never tire of each other.
That's beautiful.
43 years coming up.
God
together.
Bless you.
Okay, I know we're late, but since you brought it up, you met her three times and didn't realize it each time, or you asked her out
three
different
right.
times?
I'm not good at recognizing people.
So he asked this beautiful woman out three times, and it was the same woman each time.
So at first, too,
you're
she was
very consistent.
But
I didn't know.
And I, but she, her, the persistence was, she congratulated me for that and thanked me. I said, "For what? What'd I do?" And I said, and then I found out she was all the same girls. I said, "Sesame Street has a beautiful women working for."
Well, continued success in
your
marital bliss, and HBO picking up Sesame Street now. This is really big news. We're going to see more of Big Bird
and
Oscar, aren't we?
Great news to me. Yes. Thanks
so much. Steve Bertrand in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.